Alleluia. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is written in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. When I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word. Open our eyes to see you in others and in the world. And open my mouth, O Lord, to share your word as you would have it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday and the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And we have had all kinds of cautions about what to do and not to do this coming Thanksgiving and how we should or should not celebrate. And I just want to remind you that whatever it is that you and your family decide to do or not do, God is with you, and he is watching over you. And we pray that he keeps us all safe. Many decades have come along, and during that time, Reader's Digest has been a wonderful source of humor. When I was young, Mom and Dad used to take that magazine, and the first thing I would do when I got it was just flip through all the pages and read all the jokes. And I'm sure some of you may have done the same as well. And there was one joke I remember. It was told by a young nurse who was working in an OBGYN's office, and they had just gotten a new piece of equipment. It was called a mini dop. And they used this, what was then revolutionary device, to put it on the belly of expectant mothers and listen to the heartbeat of the baby. Well, the doctor figured out after a while that not only did it pick up the heartbeat of the child, but it also could pick up sounds from the radio or the television out in the lobby. And then he finally figured out that it could pick up CB transmissions. And imagine what the look on his face and on the expectant mother's when all of a sudden one day he's listening with this mini dop on her belly, and he hears this voice say, "Hi, pals out there, how are things out there going?" Surprise, never expecting to hear that. And also, supposedly a true story, how many of you remember Gracie Allen? I remember we used to watch her show every Sunday evening. Now, one of her fans, interestingly enough, why I never did read, but one of her fans sent her a baby alligator. And it was delivered one morning as she's getting ready to go out to an appointment, and she looks at this thing and doesn't quite know what to do with it. So she just takes the cage that it's in and just sets it in the bathtub and finishes getting dressed and goes out to her appointment. But when she comes back, she sees a little note from her maid on the kitchen counter, and it says, "Dear Miss Allen, sorry, but I had to quit. I don't work in houses where there is an alligator. I'd have told you this when I was hired, but I never thought it would come up." Surprise. Life is full of surprises. Some surprises are not quite like an alligator in the bathtub, although shortly after we moved out to Jupiter Farms, I did see an article about somebody that went to get into their shower. They're coiled up in their shower was a water moccasin. Needless to say, we've been there 20 plus years, and I still look in the shower before I get in. Our scripture this morning tells us that Jesus reminds us there will be a time when the saints will be surprised, and it will be wonderful. It will be at the final judgment, and at that momentous time, says Jesus, the King of all creation will come to his saints, and he will say something they were not expecting. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." The saints will be surprised, says Jesus. And then when they ask, "When did we see you in any of these circumstances?" He will answer, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." What a powerful, powerful piece of scripture. What you did for the least of these, you did unto me. The saints were feeding Jesus and they didn't even know it. Surprise. They were clothing Jesus and didn't even know it. Surprise again. The saints thought they were visiting someone indigent, but it was Jesus and they didn't know it. It's like a charming Christmas legend that comes out of medieval times. According to the legend, on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wanders the earth looking for a place that would welcome him. And Christians who would like for the Christ child to come and stay and be with them put a candle, a lighted candle, in their window so that the Christ child will see the candle. And no one turns away anyone who comes to their door on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, because it just might be the Christ child in disguise. It might be a beggar. It might be someone blind. No telling who or what it may look like. It could be the Christ child in disguise. To turn anyone away may be like rejecting the Christ child. There are several lessons in this familiar scripture from Matthew's gospel. And the first one is that we need to be careful how we treat other people. Be careful how you deal with others, for they may be indeed Jesus in disguise. And you may not recognize that it is he. One minister tells about a member of his congregation who works very hard in a homeless ministry in the local community. And the congregant has explained to the minister that whenever he goes and works with the homeless, he always thinks of his older brother. His older brother lives out in the Pacific Northwest, and he has a psychological illness which sometimes leads him into paranoid states. So he has wandered from place to place, and now he spends his life going from shelter to shelter. And this man in the congregation imagines that when he is at the homeless shelter and ministering to the men there, that one of them might be his brother. He ministers to these other men because he hopes someone is ministering to his brother. That's how we need to view those in need, as our brothers and our sisters. Saints of God care about other people. It's not because we fear divine punishment, but it's because the Spirit of Jesus lives in our hearts. And that Spirit leads us to want to give and to help and to provide and to nurture. Before moving to South Florida, as you may remember, I lived in Central Florida, and there was a meal ministry in downtown Orlando. Every day at 12:30, anybody could come and get a free hot meal. The only requirement was you had to be sober if you wanted to get inside the door. And all the churches in the local area signed up for a week at a time to provide for 7 days that week, six or eight, I've forgotten how many, people that would come and serve the meals. Well, it was our church's time. I think we would go like every 16 or 18 months. A lot of churches were involved. The food was donated by the owner of one of the best restaurants in town, actually. He'd send a couple of employees with a hot meal, and they'd carry it in. There would also be there at least one or two of the directors of the program and some helpers along with them. They would be putting together tables and chairs and getting things ready for people and getting all the buffet lines ready. And when we would come, we would get our instructions from them. And then just about the time the doors were ready to be opened, all of us there would hold hands and have a prayer together. And every time I went, there was one woman that always was the one who said the prayer. She was probably 60 or so, and she obviously knew what it was like to be poor, and she knew what it was like to pray. And she would always start out, and she would say something like, "Thank you, God, for another day to serve you, Lord." And then she would say something like, "We know that you are going to come through that door and this line today. Help us to serve you well. Amen." And the people would come in and they would be fed. Be careful how you treat other people, because it may be that someone is Jesus in disguise. And there's something else that this scripture jumps out to me as important, and that is that the saints of God have in our hearts people who are at the bottom of society, people who are down and out. That's why our denomination has disaster relief for people who have lost their homes and family members in wildfires, for people who have lost their homes and family members in Central America, so that we have opportunities to reach out and help those who are less fortunate than we ourselves are. We all know the story of Albert Schweitzer. He was, and I was looking up information on him just to refresh my mind, and I had to get out the dictionary. I learned a new word. P-O-L-Y-M-A-T-H. I presume it's pronounced polymath, but it means someone who is skilled in a lot of different areas, who has mastery over a lot of different realms. And that was Albert Schweitzer. But all of his life, he had this sense that there was a great deal of misery and suffering in the world. And he wanted to do something about it. So he became a doctor, and we know the story. He went to Africa, and he founded a hospital there and gave to the people, helped relieve some of the misery and the pain among the people in that area. Now, Schweitzer went to Africa. He became a doctor, he went to Africa. Now, God maybe isn't calling us to do all of that. But as I may have mentioned to you before, when Larry and I first started dating, one of his questions to me was, does this mean I'm going to have to go to China if I marry a minister? And I just looked at him and I said, well, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go, but it does mean you have to be willing to. And that's the way it is. We need to be able to open our arms, open our hearts, to follow the way that the Lord will lead. We might not be called upon, like Schweitzer, to devote our entire lives to relieving the misery of people, but we are called at various times to help relieve the suffering of some people in some circumstances. We have to be creative these days about what we do with our Thanksgiving. We have to be creative about how we care for each other. That's part of what we are called to do right now, to help protect those around us. We don't want to forget about those that are in need. We can become self-indulgent if we do that. We can become cut off from avenues where we can help. I think God calls us all, each of us, to do something for someone. There's a story of a man that moved into a new town, and the home that he bought was fairly near the railroad tracks, and he noticed that every morning an elderly woman would carry a basket and walk along the tracks, and every bit she'd bend down, pick something up, put it in her basket. She'd walk a few more feet. She'd bend down, pick something up, put it in her basket. And he went down to the local grocery one morning and he asked the fella, what's this about this lady that walks along the train track picking up stuff? And the grocer explained to him, ah, that's the widow Jacobs. She goes along every morning and she picks up the coal that has fallen off of the locomotives as they have come through town early in the morning. And this new arrival in town says, but locomotives, steam-driven locomotives, haven't been on these tracks for years. And the grocer says, yes, I know. That's Mr. Simpson. He runs the hardware store down the end of the block. He was afraid that without the train coming through and dropping its coal, that the widow Jacobs would not have any coal to heat her home or to cook with. And he knew that she was too proud to take charity. So he resolved that every morning He gets up and he takes a bag of charcoal and he walks down the track and drops pieces of charcoal so that she can come along about an hour later and pick them up. She still thinks the coal-driven train comes down that track early every morning. Now that's what this man chose to do, to help one person. He felt that was part of his calling. Now, I don't think that God is calling, certainly not me, maybe not any of us, to solve the world's hunger problems or to be able to provide clean drinking water for every nation. But God is calling each one of us to do something. And what he is calling you to do is not the same thing he's calling me to do, or even your neighbor or your spouse. He calls each of us to do something with the talents that we have been given. And his call on each of us is different. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. That's what he wants. And when you begin to do something like that, not only are you responding to God's call on your life, but as you look and you see Christ in others, and you begin to help in ways like this, other people begin to see Christ in you. They look into your heart and they see your kindness. They see your love that God has put there for them. Followers of Christ have a heart for those in need. We see Christ in the poor, and we see Christ in those who are suffering in this world. But when we enter into their need and try to serve them, something extraordinary happens, and they begin to see Christ in us. We are the church. We are called to be the answer and the solution to poverty, to needs, to injustices in our society. We serve an all-powerful God who can do anything. And we are his hands and his feet. We claim as a Savior, one about whom in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 it was said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The Lord's perfection includes perfect love, perfect mercy, perfect justice, and perfect peace. And those in this world who are striving for those things are doing kingdom work. They'll be blessed. You will be blessed. There was an army chaplain who was visiting wounded soldiers, and he went up to one soldier laying in his bed and asked, "Can I read some scripture to you?" And the soldier looks up at him and he says, "I'm cold." So the chaplain takes off his jacket and he tucks it in around the man's shoulders. And then the man says, "And I'm thirsty." So the chaplain opens up his canteen and kind of props the man's head up and starts giving him some of his water. And after the man indicates that he's had enough, the chaplain asks him again, "Would you like for me to read you some verses of scripture?" And the soldier looks up at him and he says, "If there's anything in that Bible that caused you to do what you have just done for me, yes, please read to me that part of the Bible. If there's anything there that causes you to do what you have just done for me, read that to me." So I say to you this morning, come you who are blessed by our Father, Take your inheritance, a kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For he was hungry, and you gave him something to eat. Jesus was thirsty, and you gave him something to drink. He was a stranger, and you invited him in. He needed clothes, and you clothed him. He was sick, and you looked after him. He was in prison, and you went to visit him. Now, I don't know about you, but on that great coming home day, I want to be one of those sheep that's surprised to be on the right-hand side. And more than that, I want to have a faith in Jesus that is real, because I want to take advantage of one of the greatest, most joyous opportunities that he has given us, and that is the opportunity to minister to him. Thanks be to God. Amen.